Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Alrighty, Dighty, it is time to chat with the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Don Granato segment on WGR is brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Equitable Advisors, planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Nextiva, by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres. And he is standing by on our Western Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Granato. It's Howard and Jeremy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good, thanks.
Yeah.
Ready for another one tonight.
Hey, listen, by the way, not for nothing, thanks for making watching Sabres hockey fun again.
You're welcome, but you got a lot more than me to thank for that. So the guys have been great, obviously, and the staff has been incredible. So it's a lot more than me, I can assure you of that.
You did say something to that effect, though, that you do like the idea of playing an entertaining product. What is it what does it mean to you anytime you watch a game and it's 7-6 on the broadcast? They're going to say coaches hate this kind of game. Apparently that's not you. You don't hate that type of game.
No, the goalies hate that kind of game. I can assure you of that. But as long as you're the team with seven, you love it. You take a win any possible way you can. And my comment on that is it's pretty simple. And you need to win a game. And if you don't win a game, you damn well better be entertaining. And that means you better be working hard, competing, fighting, scratching, clawing, and have some passion. And that's all I mean by that. Certainly the objective is to win, but I don't like playing a boring style. I don't think and my approach to that is I don't think the players like that either. In fact, I know they don't. They want to play. They want to get up and down the rink and engage physically as much as they can, skate as much as they can. So it really goes hand in hand as far as that is concerned.
How much do you see that, or have you seen that over the years? You have a deep resume in terms of different levels of hockey that you have coached at, and I'm wondering, like, we would tend to talk about, okay, teams are going to protect the lead late in the third. Some coaches might go into 3-on-3, and instead of thinking I can be aggressive and get a second point, you know, let me not lose the second. I mean, it's just, I always wonder about coaches and philosophy, Don, and are they playing to win? Are they playing not to lose? I've got a point when the game starts, it's 0-0, things like that.
Yeah, I think I've got a point at 0-0 in the start of the game. It's pretty extreme, but I bet there's people that think that way. But, you know, later in a game, the 5 minutes left and the situation presents itself, you may think differently. Or you may play that situation differently with that, you know, little time left. But by and large, you know, again, I've had enough coaching where, as you mentioned, a team gets a 1-0 lead, and you look at just the statistics, analytics through the NHL history, teams leading after the first period, their winning percentage, teams leading after the second, it indicates, you know, they can indicate a lot of different things. But one thing to me that I always looked at that and said it indicates how challenged the opposition is to score in that situation. So for me, that's why I talk about offense and there's going to be a lot of games you're trailing one goal. And if you don't know how to generate through a team that's playing really defensive, you've lost the game. And think about how many losses you'd have then. And again, it's real easy to just look at the winning percentage of teams when they score the first goal. And if you look at the worst teams in the league over the last 10 years, their winning percentage is, I bet you it's over 500, or it's near what the overall winning percentage is for the top teams in the league. And to me, that's always been an indicator of teams' inability to score.
Don, do you think that's the natural evolution of the game, the league, the way that coaches will coach? I mean, you've got a lot of experience coaching. You would have been around a lot of other coaches. And over the course of your career, come across people that do want to lock it down. I mean, there are guys that are going to make the Hockey Hall of Fame that play great defensive styles. And, you know, I just wonder what it's like to have the ideas and the mindset that you have working with maybe guys that are on the other side of that spectrum.
Well, it definitely does work. So there's merit to it, absolutely, because the other team has to be able to penetrate. They have to be able to go through, you know, you defensively. And again, it's an awful feeling. I lost a world championship in Sochi, Russia. We outshot Team Canada 35-12, and we lost the game. And we had no business losing the game, but we just couldn't score a goal. And it was we dominated the play, obviously 35-12. They had 12 shots, and we just couldn't get – we just couldn't score enough. And that was one experience I never want to go through again. And it was a good learning experience in front of thousands of – you know, a world championship was on the line. So you learn a lot from situations like that. And, you know, on the flip side, you have to also be able to protect a lead or manage a lead. And yes, a component of managing a lead is knowing your opponent may overextend themselves and staying prepared to score to expand that lead. So again, more of an offensive twist to that as well.
You lose a game, a world championship might be tough because it's a shortened tournament, 35-12 on a shot count, night in, night out over the course of a season. That's going to be pretty good. So as a coach, how do you deal with what can sometimes be the randomness of the game? I mean, there are bad bounces. There are going to be heartbreaking days when you're happy with how you played, but it just didn't go your way.
Yeah, I can tell you in that case, you feel terrible for the players because they worked. I mean, they did. They committed. They fought. And the only time you feel really bad as a coach about what you did or didn't do is when your players – you feel like they didn't, you know, we didn't play hard enough. We didn't compete hard enough. If the guys work and compete, it's rare that you feel bad as a coach because they gave the effort. They were, you know, determined. They prepared well. They executed what was laid out and competed for each other. You never, very, very few times do you feel bad when they do that and they play with that type of passion. It's when you didn't show up right away or you left something on the table. That's an awful feeling for a coach.
Don Granato with the Sabres playing the Bruins tonight. I wanted to ask you about some of the individual players that are playing better and or developing right before our eyes this season. And I think for sure Casey Mittelstadt, if he's not at the top, he's near the top of the list for Sabres fans, Don. And I was wondering, you know, he's clearly in his best stretch as a Sabre. He's doing it at center, which I wasn't sure that he'd be able to do, quite honestly. What has been the key, or what do you think are the keys to what we've seen from him for the last, you know, dozen games or so?
Lots of things have gone into it. You know, again, I credit Casey, number one, and then our entire staff, pushing all of these guys. And I've mentioned to you before, it's supporting them, but it's also pushing them. You know, it's us demanding of them, but, you know, in the demanding sense, the reassurance from the staff that they can do it. You know, I had no problem throwing Dylan Cousins against Crosby and
right.
And I was probably more excited than Dylan was to have that opportunity because I just think, you know, he and as we're talking about Casey, their ceilings are so high that we just need to keep pushing them toward that ceiling. And you know, we believe in them that they can do that. Casey's put in his time and effort, and I've watched him grow, you know, on the ice, off the ice, mature and target the right things for Casey. You know, he's targeted what he needs to do to become better, and he's targeted where he wants to go with his game. And seeing those things from the coaching side, you know, I knew that and felt strongly that I could put Casey in, you know, in challenging situations because he worked that process so well, you know, on his own, and he was ready for it. And, you know, I think a lot of guys were because of their work and preparation, and it's nice to be able to give them that opportunity and nice to be in a position to encourage them because I believe in them and believe they've done the work to be ready for that.
You've talked about confidence a few times. You've been asked about confidence level of players of the team, and I'm curious, specifically with a guy like Casey, like he looks more confident with the puck. He looks confident in his shot. When he shoots, it almost looks like he's feeling much better about his chances of scoring. He just looks so much more comfortable in his shoes. Now, does that come from coaches showing faith? Does he have a little success and confidence grows? How do you become confident when you haven't had previous success to have that confidence, you know?
Yeah, I think on the coaching side, what I know my thoughts specifically, I don't want a player, and lots of times players play not to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they make a mistake, there's a certain accountability that, that typically follows, less ice time or, you know, maybe bumped out of the lineup. But I don't want the player to fear making a mistake. And, you know, what I use and preface on that is if you weren't prepared for the game, you weren't willing to work hard and you didn't work hard and you didn't compete and you make a mistake, you're in trouble. And you will hear from me because you didn't work and you didn't prepare. But I can reassure Casey, for example, he's doing all that. So don't worry about making a mistake. That's part of the game. You have to make read and react decisions, you know, in the moment at a high pace and, you know, calibrate what's going on. So we'll look at that after the game on film. You'll be able to see from hindsight, you know, what it looked like on the big picture and what you were thinking in that particular situation. So I don't need to tell him he was right or wrong. I need him to gain that experience of it. And then he can move on with confidence that he gained that experience of maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it wasn't. But that's kind of the process. But the last thing I want these guys to worry about is making mistakes. It's just the game's so fast, and we need them to read and react and gain the experience of each situation. And that's been our process and will continue to be.
It all kind of sounds like it adds up to, for some young guys, especially higher-end ones that have these ceilings, you know, you've mentioned Cousins and Casey here, that are putting the work in, that it takes someone to believe in them to get them to keep going to that ceiling.
Well, it's always nice to have people believe in you. I mean, that's how it is in life. But, they're easy guys to believe in. Again, it's much less me, and it's a lot more the fact that they're doing the work. And when you see that as a coach, you're excited to give them such opportunity. And that's really what's really, really happening.
I think we can transition that into Cousins, since you mentioned him a moment ago when you were talking about Casey Mittelstadt. And, you know, he's looked very good coming back from this most recent injury. With the transition to center, Don, I mean, I know Ralph had talked about, a lot of coaches will talk about, for a young player, it's tough to throw him in right away at center. There's so much they have to learn. So he had a shot at wing. He transitions to center. How much have you seen him in a short period of time grow in terms of the center responsibilities?
You know, he's comfortable at center, so there's elements where he looks much more comfortable because he's, you know, he's played it. And yes, there's certain things, most of the things, you know, and Samuelson would probably be a really good example as we're talking about Cousins. He played his first game the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see it. I could see his play. He was outstanding. What he needs is some games to kind of calibrate to the level, the intelligence of the player he's playing against, the speed or the strength or the quickness. And he'll calibrate. He'll recalibrate really quick because he's talented and he has a good base. And Dylan's the same way. So, again, when I get him in these situations against Crosby, and Crosby maybe uses some experience to his advantage and outsmarts Dylan or anybody else in a certain situation, Dylan can take that, recalibrate, literally the next shift, and he won't be beat that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big factor for me to put him at center, because I know it's not going to break his confidence if he makes a mistake. He's just going to recalibrate.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting thing. My conversation with Dylan even before the game or before the series with Pittsburgh was he's going to play against him, you know, throughout, in and out throughout the game. And at some point he's going to realize that Sidney has a lot of experience, but there's some things that Dylan has in his game that Sidney does not anymore. You know, Sidney's in his 30s and Dylan's in his early 20s. And, you know, there's some power, explosiveness, quickness that Dylan has that 30-year-old players just don't have anymore. So as he starts to figure out those advantages and how to use those advantages, you know, each moment he does, we have a better player. And that's exciting. So, but Dylan is highly intelligent. So, again, he will calibrate and recalibrate really quick.
One of the other guys Jeremy and I were talking about this week is Victor Olofsson, who seems to be more active, Don. It looks like he, you know, more comfortable, playing better, whatever term you'd like to use, with and without the puck. He seems to be playing more of an overall game. Would you agree? And if so, how were you and the staff able to elevate his game to that point?
Yeah, I agree completely. He looks better. He's got more jump in his stride. We see more explosiveness at moments. Which has been a real challenge to the opposition, opened up ice for his line mates, Sammy and Reinhardt and Jeff Skinner. And I would say Jeff Skinner's been the same. You know, they've got a lot more pop. Their first couple strides, they're using, you know, that short quickness. They've been stronger over pucks. So, yes, I would agree with you on Victor. And, you know, again, he's definitely upped his intensity and effort. He didn't like his game. You know, when I would talk to him about watching clips, he got excited. He was hungry for it. He wanted more because he wanted to play better, and he's definitely going the right direction.
We are with Don Granato wrapping up our conversation. Of course, they're playing the Bruins tonight. We'll have the game on WGR. There is one other guy I want to ask you about, Don, and get a quick injury update too, and that's Reinhardt. You mentioned Sam a moment ago. Moves over to center, was playing well on the wing, moves over to center, and he's playing well at center as well. Where do you think he is more valuable to the team at one position or the other?
I really like him at center. I've liked him since we've seen him, and you know, there's still so much room for him to, you know, I don't want to say improvement, but again, he hasn't played it in a while. So he's almost relearning, you know, what he can do in that position. And I think his skill set, his vision around the ice, his ability to look right or left. When you're on the wing, you're on the wall, so you're only looking and making plays one way for the most part. You know, he's a tricky, deceptive player. And when he's in the middle of the rink and he can use that deception and go, you know, east, west, right, left, and has outlets either direction, I like that. You know, I think that's a bonus. So the, you know, I like his skill set. I like where he's at in his career. It fits well at center, and I don't see any reason to shift him to the wing, certainly not now.
Yeah, a couple injury updates. Let's see, Linus Ullmark,
you know, I can't remember what we released last and what I've, you know, what I haven't followed our injuries on the guys that are longer term.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not within the next week and a half, 2 weeks. So I can't even speak on that. I'm sorry, guys. Borgen, I can tell you, is going to skate with us today for the first time, which is really exciting. And that means he's now day-to-day. So okay, he could be back as soon as our next game. That's a real positive. Kajula will skate this morning, and he'll go in the lineup tonight.
Okay.
That's exciting. And I believe that's it for the guys that are immediate. I don't have any, like I said, I don't have any update on anybody after that.
What's Kajula bring? How do you plan to use him? What would his role be with this team?
Well, you know, as with Bjorky, you give him a few games to just kind of settle in and go through things. But quickness, I mean, he's a relentless player. He has some dynamic pop to him, quickness. You know, he can make a play in tight. He can score a goal in tight. He's just feisty. Just energy, feisty, pushes the pace for the team, vocal guy in the locker room on the bench. But you know, in a real forward, intense, competitive way, manner. So, you know, and I'm excited for that. I think that adds to our group.
I forgot. UPL, Don, you think he might get a game in this week?
How could we forget him? He will back up tonight. I apologize. He'll back up tonight. And then, you know, there's a possibility the next game. So, again, we want to make sure there's a little bit of a process for him because he was coming off that injury. So, you know, he'll actually skate with us the first time this morning now. So he'd been on his own with rehab skates until now.
All right.
All right.
Very good. Yeah,
Don, are you having a good time?
I am. You know, winning is fun. So, and when you walk in the locker room and you see the guys excited and believe in their next opportunity and the potential of winning, yes, that is fun. And because of that, I am having a lot of fun.
Hey, you're snapping droughts. I don't know if the PR staff told you about.
I don't even want to hear about it, guys. I just want to think
then unfollow me on Twitter because I already tweeted that stuff out. So
yeah. I got to have a one-track mind, but I hope you guys enjoy it, and I hope we can continue to bring good things.
Yeah, continued success. So we appreciate you coming on with us as always, and thanks for answering all the questions.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, Don, have a good week. Don Granato on our Wester Hotline in his segment with us. Brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney by First Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Nextiva, by Premcom, the official telephone system of the Bills and Sabres. When we get back, Jeremy's going to have the parameters of the lifetime contract for Don Granato. So I'm looking forward to how you structure this.
Each week we've been putting a quote on a banner and hanging it from I don't know. We should hang it from the arena. I do have another one. It's not the one I tweeted. There was a quote in there that
all right.
We got another one. Put it on a banner.
Well, we got plenty of space for more banners, so that won't be a problem. 803-0550 to join us. We'll do that next. WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Center. So there's there's elements where he looks much more comfortable because he's played it. And yes, there's certain things, most of the things, and Samuelson would probably be a really good example as we're talking about Cousins. He played his first game the other day. So you could see it. I could see his play. He was outstanding. What he needs is some games to kind of calibrate to the level, the intelligence of the player he's playing against, the speed or the strength or the quickness. And he'll calibrate. He'll recalibrate really quick because he's talented and he has a good base. And Dylan's the same way. So again, when I get him in these situations against Crosby, and Crosby maybe uses some experience to his advantage and outsmarts Dylan or anybody else in a certain situation, Dylan can take that, recalibrate, literally the next shift, and he won't be beat that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big factor for me to put him at center, because I know it's not going to break his confidence if he makes a mistake. He's just going to recalibrate.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting thing. My conversation with Dylan even before the game or before the series with Pittsburgh was he's going to play against him, you know, throughout, in and out throughout the game. And at some point he's going to realize that Sidney has a lot of experience, but there's some things that Dylan has in his game that Sidney does not anymore. You know, Sidney's in his 30s and Dylan's in his early 20s. And, you know, there's some power, explosiveness, quickness that Dylan has that 30-year-old players just don't have anymore. So as he starts to figure out those advantages and how to use those advantages, you know, each moment he does, we have a better player. And that's exciting. So, but Dylan is highly intelligent. So again, he will calibrate and recalibrate really quick.
Don Granato, moments ago with us here on the show. If you missed it, it's available in on-demand audio. A lot of interesting things. He's become a must-listen-to interview, whether it's whether it's with us, whether it's, you know, the Zoom call post-game, the game day interviews, anytime he talks to the media. It's really interesting to hear the insight. A lot of things you want to hear as a fan. Basic things like, if you're not winning, you better damn well be entertaining. Basic stuff like that is, well, I think stuff that should be basic, but apparently not for all coaches. So it seems like there's something interesting every time he opens his mouth and does an interview with the media.
Is it when George gets the job with the Yankees that he says, I'm busting, Jerry, I'm busting, right? He's just like overcome with excitement.
Love the Seinfeld reference. Anytime you can work that in.
I mean, was Don Granato created?
Sent from heaven.
Was he created to exercise every demon coach?
He's getting there. He's getting there close.
He's done a lot of the Kruger exercising.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Howard, a grudge of mine has to come up, and this man is the answer.
Yeah, right.
He wanted to put Cousins out against Crosby.
How about,
he
didn't
wanted
fear it.
To.
Right.
He said, I was more excited than Dylan was. He wanted that. This man would not have started Johan Larson against
Connor McDavid. It's a good thing you're not
because
over that.
He didn't get caught up in the moment. This guy actually understands that young players, you know, I'm going to give this guy a little bit of rope. Maybe show a little belief in this guy. Show him that this is a moment for him and understand that, you know, he's an NHL player. He's highly touted. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
He might get worked, and then he'll come back and he'll get after it again. I mean, man,
and also, how do you not learn? How do you learn as a young player? You go against the best.
Yeah. Man, he wants to keep Reinhardt at center.
Yeah.
He wants to see Cousins against Crosby.
He played him against Backstrom.
Mittelstadt, I mean, it's just
right.
There's a lot going right. I guess the question is, and you tweeted this about the centers.
Boy,
I mean, not to put a downer on it, they think that Reinhart's their center, and that is what lets them trade Eichel. Is that, well, we have three centers, we'll trade him, and we'll get everything else.
Yeah, but that's why I said I look at it as the reverse and saying now that's the deepest group of centers around here since I don't know, because who was after Eichel and O'Reilly? So that's the way I look at it.
Larson.
I think you're now you're turning that into a position of strength. Why would you? Anyway, that's a different discussion, I guess, for a different time. But, I think it's you're funny. I texted Jeremy, next week I'm going to ask Don Granato what he thinks about the 3-2-1 point system. If he says he loves
offer
it.
Offer sheets. Get him in with offer sheets.
I'm thinking you have a new man crush, right? I mean, he's going to hit all the boxes for you over the course of time with us. But I think, you know, even like Nate Geary was tweeting about it too, like the comment about Reinhardt. You know, I just think it less so that, more about you better be entertaining. It's about making the fans happy. It's about scoring the first goal, adding to that with more goals. Even the thing about the young players, right? So, you know, typically, I think more often than not, you would hear teams talk about shielding young players. Now, and I don't mean Cousins not playing at center right away. Get his feet wet, put him in at wing. There are a lot of responsibilities that come with playing center. So welcome to the NHL, kid. Adjust to the speed, adjust to the game, get some time in. Hey, okay, well, there's an injury. Now we're definitely moving you over to center, and he looks fine in those shoes. And as I said, you brought up the point about, you know, he was looking forward more to playing against Crosby than Cousins was. Good. It isn't let's shield Cousins. We got to make sure he's playing against the Penguins and the Capitals' fourth line or third line. And we'll, I mean, I don't know who the heck you throw against the Crosby line. You're not putting the Eakin line against it. You know, rather than shield him, let's put him out there. Let's expose him to those challenges. Let's see what Cousins can do. Let's see what Mittelstadt can do. Let's not be afraid of young players. The comment he said, you know, I think for me, when I hear the comment, I think first about Rasmus Dahlin than anybody else. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Go play the game. Let your skill show. Let your ability show. And if you make a mistake, don't be worried unless it's you're not working hard enough and that's the reason why you did it. But if you make a mistake, don't worry about me pinning you to the bench. Go out, correct it, recalibrate, if you will, to use a word that Don Granato was using. You know, he has set green light for Dahlin. Good. All right, you know what? A rush up ice, he might turn the puck over, but that doesn't mean Rasmus, don't do that anymore. Right, he's going to continue letting him do that.
The last guy said green light for Dahlin, and he definitely didn't
coach that way.
Definitely didn't have it.
That's right. See, the thing about Granato, and I know there's an element of, you know, I know I have tried as I've gotten older to less often fall in love with something someone says, especially like opening news conferences with coaches. Love this guy, or, you know, and
but in this case,
he follows his actions up to the words.
Right. In this case, he's telling us why he did the thing he did.
Right.
And
right.
The process, the answer always seems to hit, at least with me,
yeah,
the right note.
I guess that's what I meant to say. I mean, I think his words and the actions match. You know, some coaches will say something, but then when push comes to shove and you look on the ice or on the field or whatever, on the court, the way they coach the game doesn't match up with what they're saying or what their plan was when they first got the job. Yeah. This guy does that. He says one thing. He says he takes over. He says to the players, hey, guys, don't be afraid to make a mistake. Okay. Hey, Rasmus, if you have a turnover, all right, you know, go back and play and carry the puck over the blue line and make, because you know what? You're going to make more bad plays than bad plays for us. That's a really great thing for a young player to have, to know that coach behind you is not looking over your shoulder when you come to the bench wondering, why did you turn that puck over there?
Well, I mean, it's not just fixing one player. I mean, if you're Kevin Adams, you're looking at, all right, let's go through the list of players that appear to have improved.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dahlin, Jokke Haru.
Yep.
He mentioned Skinner, who's got a bunch of points. You tweeted out his points. Olofsson, of course. Mittelstadt. Yep. Cousins.
Asplund.
Reinhardt at center. Aspen.
Aspen's better this season than he was last season.
Everybody has improved, and he's played players at positions that previous coaches refused to.
Right.
I mean,
look, playing Dahlin and Jokke Haru together, I would have told you, would have been suicide. I mean, they're both playing like crap. So this guy takes over, tells these young guys to go play your game, don't worry about it, and by the way, I'm going to pair you together. And they
because
look really good
to,
together.
To play in the other end of the rink.
Yeah. And it's working.
So if you're Kevin Adams, I mean,
yeah,
is Granato the favorite? He's got to be the favorite. He has the job.
Well,
right?
He is, because you're seeing his body of work right mm-hmm. now, yes.
So he's got to be the favorite. Do you think he will get the job?
I don't know. Honestly, Jeremy, I really don't know. I think they will go through the process, and I don't have a problem interviewing people. I don't know that you would they be worried about all of a sudden some other team comes in the offseason and steals Granato from under your nose. So I would think they'll interview guys. I honestly couldn't. My gut feeling says he would get the job, but I don't think. Yeah, I mean, it's not a slam dunk. I think the Sabres will want to go and talk to other guys. The thing that's appealing about Granato is, you know, there are so many things they're doing better that they weren't doing. It's not just there are a lot of things to like about him, Jeremy, and I guess I'm talking myself in circles, and I apologize for that, but I do that pretty regularly on the show. One thing I didn't bring up with him, because I think we all focus on offense, and I get it, you want more goals, and they've improved about a goal a game since Granato took over, but you remember their defensive zone coverage?
right.
was horrendous. Well, I mean, there were constantly guys that were wide open. There were trailers left unchecked. There were guys on the backside, on the weak side, just hanging out, just doing nothing, waiting for the puck to come over. The Sabres were a train wreck in their own end. All of a sudden, they look like they know what they're doing.
Worth mentioning, and I was going to bring this up, that, okay, he's playing Cousins against Crosby in a season where there's nothing to play for other than playing Cousins against Crosby.
Yeah, it's a big experiment, right.
Right. But if they're 2 points out, 5 games left in the season, is he doing it the same way?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I think the answer is yes.
I don't know for sure, but I'd hope he stays true to his beliefs.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah. He really does sound like a good coach for a young team.
Sure.
And the Sabres are already one of the youngest teams in the NHL. We talk about that all the time. The idea that they have to go through some sort of rebuild. They don't have old guys, that many, to dump for pieces. Their best players are their young guys.
Right.
And, I mean, for me, the message this offseason is turn and burn. Just identify the bad players, play the right system, get your best player back, stay healthy, compete.
I think that's one of the things, if you go down the road to the interview process, assuming they don't just say, who knows? Maybe at the end of the season, they just lift the interim tag. I mean, if they're really happy with Don Granato, you could just, okay, let's keep the guy. But I think one of the things that would, again, bode well for him if they get to the interview process, you brought up the idea of working with young players because this is a young roster. And I mean, his resume, if you go back and look at it, I wasn't really completely aware of it until he got the interim job. And then I started reading up on where you talk about working with young guys. I mean, the National Development Program, junior teams in international tournaments, AHL, collegiate ranks, like top-level Division I programs. I don't remember if he worked in the ECHL at one point, but I know he's been at just about every key level of hockey, continually working with young kids, college kids, junior-age kids, prospects, all this other stuff. So if you are looking for that in your next coach because you think this is going to be a predominantly young team, well, this guy comes pretty equipped. He's had a considerable amount of experience doing that as a hockey coach. Granted, mostly assistant coach, but doing that as a hockey coach.
It's exciting. Now, for the other side of it, for someone saying talk is cheap, I will tell you that my favorite quote from a Bills coach did come from Doug Marrone. Like he said the best thing I think a coach has ever said around here, but that was drought era. He said, he put it in the
banner,
in the
right? Wasn't it the sign? Yeah.
The sign in the field house. Don't confuse effort with results.
Right.
Which was really important.
It is good, right.
Yeah, and like, of course, we didn't with him. The results, not good. Mm-hmm. So, see you later. But that's important. You know, don't confuse effort with results. And I guess to get to that on Granato, whoever the Sabres' next coach is, it'll either be, I think, it would. I think this eliminates, you tell me, I think this eliminates Nate Lehman. Hmm. Any talk about the Providence coach?
Yeah.
Because you're going for a college coach with no experience. That's a gamble. That's a gamble. No matter what you're doing, he might be a good coach. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but if Granato had fallen on his face, everything's on the table. Granato being good means, to me, Kevin Adams either has to go with Granato or a proven guy that wins. Right. It's got to be Boudreau. You know, the only thing people say about Granato, not even negatively, is I've loved what he's done, but I think it's time for a proven guy that's won before, and Granato is too new to this. The sample size isn't there. I think that's true. I think the only thing that can unseat Granato is if the Sabres really feel that they need the guy with the track record with the Wikipedia page that has winning seasons with three other different franchises. Right. So you know this guy will win because he always does.
I think with that approach, I guess I'm wondering what Kevin Adams is thinking, right? What is he looking for in the next coach? What does he think he has in terms of his team? This gets down to what's the best fit. What kind of coach fits what you're looking for? Well, you obviously want to win and make the playoffs next season. Now, Don Granato doesn't have that on his track record, of course, not at the NHL level as a head coach. You almost wonder if it's a Boudreau or, I'm trying to think, like Gallant is still out
there. Gerard Gallant.
Right, if it's one of those guys.
It's not. I mean, this is where we talked to Paul and he said, you don't want Claude Julien. You know, like he's the anti.
Yeah.
Claude Julien would be lock it down, no excitement, boring, all get out. And here's Don saying, if we're not going to win, we're going to be fun.
Yeah. No, I guess if you're going to get into the Boudreau-Gallant discussion, I think Kevin Adams will look at it and go, okay, Not obviously the roster is not a finished product, but I think he would look at it and go, you know what? We weren't as bad as it looked. You know, there's stuff, there was talent here, and for whatever reason, it was being misused, miscoached, whatever. The roster was not as bad as it was playing in the first 30-whatever games. And so Granato brought that out, but I've got to get to maybe a higher level of coach, a more of a proven commodity coach, because I know I've got a good enough roster with some ads to compete for a playoff spot next year.
One thing you'd love to ask Granato, but you kind of can't because he can't give you this answer, but... Hey, so this whole last year and a half, were you just taking notes on what not to do?
Yeah, were you shaking your head in the background?
You were on the staff, and did you just hate absolutely everything that happened?
I hate to say it because it sounds like we're being cruel to the previous guy who had the job to Ralph Kruger, but when I hear some of the things Don Granato says, especially the thing about systems, I look and go, he must have been like, gritting his teeth, like holding his tongue, because he's not the head coach. You work for the guy who's the head coach. And whatever the head coach wants, you have to work, you have to teach that to the players and work with the staff. But here's a guy who comes in and says, if we're focusing on systems, you're not playing to your skill and ability level and you're not getting better as a player. So why do we focus on just playing a system? That's pretty much the anti-sentiment of Ralph Kruger, right? It was always, as long as we stick to our principles, we got to play our principles, we got to stick to our principles, we'll be okay, we'll get through this. I hear things that Granato says, and I think he had to be sitting there going, yeah, this is not a good idea, but you can't do it. That's an insurrection on the coaching staff. I really do think he was holding his tongue with a lot of stuff. And then he gets the job. Okay, here's my list of things we're going to do differently. And in about 10 days or so, it started paying off. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550 WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Take a win any possible way you can. You need to win a game, and if you don't win a game, you damn well better be entertaining. And that means you better be working hard, competing, fighting, scratching, clawing, and have some passion. And that's all I mean by that. Certainly the objective is to win, but I don't like playing a boring style. And my approach to that is I don't think the players like that either. In fact, I know they don't. They want to play. They want to get up and down the rink and engage physically as much as they can, skate as much as they can. So it really goes hand in hand as far as that is concerned.
Don Granato, some of his comments with us earlier this hour. Good stuff. If you missed it live and you'd like to hear what the Sabres coach had to say, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. I have a quick stat of the day. I don't know if you wanted to get anything here. Can I throw a little stat at you again?
Yeah, you got another one. You had one early.
Did I?
You did. You had like a bunch of stats today, right?
This is too long ago. I already forgot the first hour.
I'll try and find a couple myself.
Stat of the day brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Get moving. With Cows of Buffalo, container on wheels, mobile storage, rent a cow today, 592-3343. My stat of the day involves giant goalie son.
Oh, Owen.
Congratulations to Owen Parker. It's the North American Hockey League, right? NAHL. the North American Hockey League South Division Star of the Week, Owen Parker, goaltender, New Mexico Ice Wolves. He was in goal for 2 of 3 wins the other last week, and I think they played the first-place team, if I remember from Bulldog's tweet. Anyway, he was in goal for 2 of their 3 wins. He stopped 67 of 71 shots. Out on the season, he's got a 2.91 GAA and a .914 save percentage. So congratulations to Owen on earning Star of the Week in the South Division of the NAHL and becoming our stat of the day. So that's pretty cool. Bulldog, congratulations to you, too. I mean, you'd have some kind of role in this, I'm sure. Did you have another stat you wanted to share?
1,768 NHL games. The mark is on the board.
Hey, is he draft eligible?
I believe so, yes.
Is he? Right? Okay, see, that'd be pretty cool. Like, you know, the day, like, if Owen gets drafted at some point, that'd be really awesome. No, I'm going to go with...
It'd be tough to play 1,700. Do you know who number one is?
Who is number one for goalies? Yeah, who has played the most games as a goalie in the league?
Instant trivia. It happens in an instant. Let's do it. The top seven are all Canadian.
Brodeur?
Yep, one.
Patrick Roy.
Three.
Cujo.
Six.
Ed Belfour.
Five.
All Canadian. Luongo?
Two. You're only missing number seven. Oh, and number four, sorry.
Is he active?
No, neither of them is even close to active.
Not even close, okay.
These guys were born before World War II.
Glenn Hall.
No, Jesus. Yeah, number seven. And one
Frankie
more.
Frankie Brimsek.
No, I can't even find him.
Mr. Zero, right? Wasn't there a goalie by the name of Frankie Brimsek, I think?
Yeah. Terry Sawchuk is.
Oh,
Sawchuk,
yeah, former Ranger and Red Wing. I actually know
former Saber, too.
Was he a Saber, too?
Yeah.
Okay, Terry I remember Sawchuk. When I grew up as a playing. He was playing for the Rangers when I grew up watching them.
Terry Sawchuk, I believe, finished his career with the Sabres. I'm just pulling up his stats here. Oh wait, no, never mind. He was just before. Who am I thinking of that played for the Sabres then?
Like finished their career here,
right?
Like an older guy,
like played earlier in the Sabres career.
Roger Crozier.
That's it. That is it. Roger Crozier.
Old goalie category is, I think, where you're going with. Oh, there's another old goalie.
Yeah,
Roger Crozier.
Yeah. Right. But I mean. I don't know why I thought Terry Sawchuk.
That was the true definition of instant trivia, by the way. That was really in an instant. 803-0550 to join us. Hey, when we get back, NFL owners are going to be chatting tomorrow. They're going to be voting on rules proposals, a number of different things. I don't know that anything huge will be adopted in terms of a big change, but we'll delve into that in a moment. Phone lines are open. We're talking about the Sabres, Granato. Are you in on Granato as the coach? If you checked out on the season, if you checked back in, they are fun to watch again, which is saying something compared to what they were a month or so ago. 803-0550 for that. Whatever else is on your mind, join us. Judy Batista, NFL Network, on the way next, WGR.